You're listening to another Geek Pride podcast.
My name's Karen. We're here at the UK Games Expo. This is the Geek Pride cast. Let's get to it.
Howdy, partners!
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
Do you want one of the hats?
They're not the biggest.
Yes!
Look at that!
All right.
Matt's a happy man.
You look like an extra out of the Village People.
Yep, that's me. I'm the cowboy.
I can do this sort of... Dance. I did the dance in the Maldives once when I was with my girlfriend, and they played it, and nobody was dancing, so I just got up, and I was like...
And how long was it until you were kicked out?
A side of Matt we did not want to see.
But the side of Matt that we do like to see is the Matt that is at UK Games Expo.
Yes, sir. We're back again. It's been a year, man. It's been a year.
A whole year.
Yeah.
It's unreal how long it's been.
You had Vikings last year. You're now... We're now
Cowboys.
You're now Cowboys.
Yeah. Next year, I think the next step up is going to have to be sci-fi. Stormtroopers.
Something. Yes. Definitely.
Sci-fi. I'm not sure how it's going to work with the tables, but we'll figure something out.
Neon. Lots of neon.
Oh, we've got the LED lights. Put them on the chairs. We could have a dark room. If you have any ideas for what we can do at the Geek & Sun booth next year, let us know.
All right. So we're here at UK Games Expo, so we'll go on about what we've seen, what's going on. But we haven't seen you in a while. Tell us what's been going on in your life in the last year.
So, last year, after UK Games Expo, I got engaged.
Congratulations.
Which meant I spent the entirety of last year's UK Games Expo worrying.
Because I was here last year. Did you propose after? Or was
Yes. Yeah. So, went on holiday after UK Games Expo. Fuerteventura was beautiful. Proposed on the beach. It was amazing.
Romantic.
Yeah, it was romantic. I didn't get an answer for about 15 seconds because she danced about crying. And I was there going to need an answer at some point soon. If you could let me know, that would be great.
Did you do? What was your grand gesture, man? What did you do?
Well, there wasn't really anything. I don't really do grand gestures. We went down to the beach for a walk on the first proper night we were there. It was quite funny. And I don't think she's going to see this podcast, so this story's going to be fine. I had the ring in my pocket, walking down the beach, and I kept trying to stop. I kept trying to stop her so I could propose. And every single time I'd stop her to talk to her, she'd go, "Oh, look, Rockpool's over," and run off. And I was like, could you just stay in one place? And in the end, I literally had to grab her and turn around and go, "Look, I'm trying to do this. Let me do it." And then
she was making you work for it.
Oh, I was, yeah, 100%, 100%. I mean, I think she had an inkling what was going on, but it was rather funny the fact that she didn't quite grasp it, if that makes sense, and she just kept off running off. And I was like, "Can you just stay in one place and let me do this?" Because it's nerve-wracking enough as it is. And, you know, it didn't help with the fact that I couldn't get a proper point to do it. And I had to wait until, you know, I had a proper chance to just go, "Stop, stay there, don't move, ignore the rock pools." Because I've got a rock here.
Man, it's a rock. It's a big rock here.
All about the rocks.
Exactly.
My mate, he's married now, but when he proposed, he was like, he didn't want loads of people seeing it. He just wanted it to be like an intimate sort of thing. And he went up, I think they went to the lakes or something. And there was this place where he'd sort of kind of picked it was going to be like this waterfall or something. And he's like, there's not going to be very many people there. I can do it. It's very romantic. He rocks up. And there's, like, everybody's there. Like, a tourist galore and stuff. And he's just like, "Shit, I'm going to have to do this in front of everybody."
Yeah. Mind you, speaking of that, have you seen that latest sort of, like, viral video about the engagement that took place in America? Two women at a park, and they'd been there. It's like a water park. They were there for their first date, and then they'd obviously returned. And there's someone filming it, obviously to film the moment, as they do over in America. And this girl, they're talking, this girl drops to one knee with the ring, the other girl backs off, does the whole, ooh, and then reaches into her bag and brings out an engagement ring as well and gets down. And it is one of the sweetest things I've ever seen, because they both get down on one knee.
That was amazing. Did you see that there was another one where the guy proposed and he dropped the ring and there was a bridge they were on over a river, and he dropped it between the crack and it went into the river, and all the passers-by who were like watching it jumped in to try and find it, but they couldn't find the ring.
What would you do in that situation? Would you still say yes?
I'd be like, my missus would be all like, I'm not saying yes till I get that rock.
I mean, surely it's the principle that matters.
Yeah, you'd think that, Karen. You'd think it was a principle, but they'll still want
a really expensive
wedding and stuff. I was like saying to my missus, because, you know, I'm not a religious man, and the way I see it is if you're sort of... You know, if you're with somebody, you're with somebody. You don't really need a piece of paper telling you.
Yeah.
But she's very much the case of wedding, dress, spending shit.
My day.
Yeah.
My day.
But it's not. It's our day. You know.
No, it's her day. Yeah. It's her day.
Actually, no. My wife and I, when we got married, it was just like...
Well, did you do it in LARP? Did you do LARP? When?
It was tempting, but no. We just thought, we could invite loads of guests, have the stress of, like, you know, arranging the wedding and reception.
Yeah.
Or we could just run away to the Lake District together, get married, and come back and say,
we did it.
We did it.
If I did that, my family would kill me.
So you did it without anybody knowing?
We kind of warned the parents in advance, and that was it. We had a mate in the Lake District, and who bagged in one of his mates as a witness, and that was it. So literally, there was four of us for the wedding.
I do the whole.
That's not a wedding.
I'd do the whole.
That's a gathering.
Go to Vegas and get mini Gene Simmons to marry us or something like that. You know?
I don't ever want to go to Vegas because I won't come back.
Mate, it's the best thing.
I will not come back. I guarantee. I've got an addictive personality as it is. Vegas will kill me.
I went as a single man with a lot of money in my pocket at the time. And me and my brother, I went with my brother and stuff, and we were just like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever! And it was just after Comic Con, so we went to San Diego Comic Con, and then ended up in Vegas. It was just like nothing can top San Diego Comic Con.
Vegas,
baby.
It's like there was a guy I know who went to Vegas to get married by Elvis.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
Because I said to my missus, I gave her warning because I said, look, on my 40th birthday, me and a bunch of mates, we're going to do a cross-country sort of cross-America like road trip. You know,
66.
Yeah. Cross-country. You know, now, if I was to say to you, you know, cross-country road trip to America, would you sort of make the assumption that Vegas was going to be within that trip?
Mostly.
Yeah. I would also visit the country, the county in... Can't remember which state it is, but I'd also visit the town that's called My Anus.
I didn't know there was one called My Anus.
There is a town in America called My Anus.
If you're going to be passing Vegas, I recommend stopping by Area 51.
Okay.
Just for the sheer experience.
Apparently you're not allowed to take photographs in that area and stuff.
The closest you can get to it, I think, is Lakeview Road. And the amount of security cameras watching.
Yeah, but there's nothing there, apparently. Why would you have that much security and nothing there?
It's a desert. There's nothing there.
It's a bluff.
The rare double bluff. There's nothing here. Someone goes in. Oh, there literally is.
We did the
here.
Hoover Dam, which was pretty epic. Yeah, but it was absolutely...
Did you see any Transformers?
No, we didn't. We did the Hoover Dam, but it was like, it's really low down because they're actually going to have water problems soon over there because they use so much water in Vegas that... The guy said you can see the water levels. This is where it used to be when it was built. This is where it is now.
How low in the snow is it?
It's like really lower. Like, you know, there's a lot of water left still, but no, like you, enough to sort of keep them going for a fair few years. But compared to what it was originally,
apparently
it's like
Vegas
really low.
Smells as well.
No, we went. It was just stupidly hot, man. And they've got like these mist machines. You find yourself going from one casino to another with these like mist machines and air conditioning and stuff, you know. And you're like, it's just so you lose track of time. The best thing that's ever happened to me, right? I was over there and we were in the casino and my brother's like, right, let's go to the next casino. And I just ordered a double vodka. I was like, shit. So I started like about the neck. I said, what are you doing? I was like, I'm necking my drink. And he's like, you can. you can bring it with you?
Yeah.
I was like, I can walk in the streets with that glass? And I was like walking around going, yeah, I can do this.
The surprise for me in America when I went there back in last, what would be 2005, was when we actually had breakfast one day in a Greasy Spoons diner. And they're giving us refills, like, want some more coffee? Here you go. What, we didn't have to pay for it? No. It's free on the house, don't worry about it.
The only thing I don't like about America is their tipping and taxes thing. So basically, they have this sort of like, everything is without tax and without tip. When you're in like a restaurant.
Supermarket.
Yeah, and then you add the tax on afterwards. I was like, why don't you put it on? Oh, different states, there's different tax rates and stuff. I know, but you're within the state. Surely you should know what your tax rate is. So it's like, you don't know what you're getting. And then the tipping thing, it's like, I'm a good tipper anyway. I will tip all the time. But I like tipping because I want to tip, not because it's an obligation. You know? It's like in Reservoir Dogs, he says, I don't tip because society says I have to.
I have to. I think that, I mean, I went to America for the first time last year.
With PAX?
Yes, PAX Unplugged. First one there, went with Geek and Some. Fantastic convention. Absolutely fantastic. If you ever get the chance, PAX Unplugged is amazing.
What size is it?
It's a little bit smaller than this.
Okay.
And one of the nice things is the convention center where it is. It's at the Philadelphia Convention Center. And just below, on the street level, this place is massive. You go down, just below, there's something called the Reading Terminal Market, which is a food place about the size of a standard Tesco superstore. There were about 30 different food places, and they were good food places.
Nice.
There was a bar. There was two bars in there. There was a butcher's, a fishmonger's, three or four coffee shops. The burger joints in there were incredible. There was one that was doing a mac and cheese burger. There was like an all-you-can-eat buffet style. It was mind-blowing.
I had the best pancakes I've ever had in my life in San Diego. There's a guy called... who took us? Kay. No, not Kay. Who was it took us? Yeah, Kay Etten. Kay Etten took us to this like, awesome sort of pancake place in San Diego. Name of it completely, don't know, can't remember. But it was like, they were like stacked high, covered in whipped cream.
Were they like thick and flaky? Yes.
Pancakes, man. I was just like, yep, I'm not going to be losing any weight in this holiday.
No, definitely not. No.
Pancakes and bacon is the ultimate breakfast food. I don't care what anybody says.
It doesn't. You know what? I never thought. My dad used to sit there and go, you know, swear by that shit. Like, with maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
Like, what? Why would you do that? Lovely. Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Pancakes and bacon.
So I'd go and touch bacon, but pancakes for breakfast is the breakfast of the gods.
Pancakes for everything.
True.
Pancakes for everything. Doesn't have to be breakfast.
I love pancakes, man. I'm a big pancake fan.
I will say, over in America as well, the price, like, over here, trying to get a box of Lucky Charms is...
They're always trying to steal
almost
Lucky
impossible. But over there, you know, you get a box for about, they're like 10 quid, and it's a standard size. Over there, you get one of the massive ones for like $3.
Oh, no.
I was losing my mind.
Yeah, when I first met my now wife, Kalia, every Sunday morning, she'd bake me breakfast, and at that point of view, It's love. Anyone who's prepared to make you pancakes for breakfast on a Sunday morning is a keeper.
Well, my missus doesn't make me pancakes in the morning. I'm gonna have to bring that up with her when I get home.
I will say my other half does do like next to, below pancakes, heavily buttered toast. That is just, or crumpets. Toast or crumpets, as long as it is dripping in butter. Yeah, that's the way forward.
Okay, so we kind of went on a bit of a tangent. That was a massive tangent there.
Is there a topic?
Yeah, is there a topic? So what else have you been doing? So you went to PAX.
PAX Unplugged, yeah.
What else has been going on?
So in sort of like my personal life, not a whole lot.
But not about your personal life, just Geek and Son, what have you been up to?
Geek and Son in general, we've obviously done a couple of shows this year so far. We were at PAX East in April, which was good fun. We've been doing a few small shows around the UK, Aircon, City of Games in Bristol, which was good fun. And then our next show is a bit of a big one. It's in August, and we're going to Gen Con in Indianapolis.
Nice.
That's
going
to be
Are
an
you
interesting
going?
One. I'm going to Gen Con.
Lucky bastard.
Indianapolis. So if you are listening to this, you are going to Gen Con, come by, say hello. We'll be on the Pegasus Spiel booth, and we're going to have some rather interesting things to show you. There's been a few interesting things here this year. What is it? Oh, he's waving. Hello, Johnny. How you doing?
Looking good, Johnny. Looking good.
So, yeah, we've obviously, here at UK Games Expo, and you might have seen on our social media, TV inset for all you budding DMs out there for your D&D. You've got a screen that you can set a laptop up with, and you can, on the fly, change a map, move a map around using stuff like Roll20. We've also got a brand new stain colour, Old Wood, which also, the wood is treated slightly differently. Which looks absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a really nice. It would go very nice. If you got one of those sort of like wooden, rustic-looking houses, it would look epic in there.
Yeah.
I do. So, yeah, and
there you go, Pete.
There you go. You're going to have to get one now.
Ouch.
But from that, it's been, I think, a lot of expansion, to be honest, for us last year and leading into this year.
You've got a new office?
Yes, moved into new office block. So we moved out of the old one. We've probably got about five times the space now. We've got a VIP room there. We've also got a showroom as well. If you ever do want to come along, see the tables and have a word with us, we're based in Blackminster near Evesham in Worcestershire. Just drop us a line. You're more than welcome to come along at any point.
Awesome. Awesome sauce.
Now, I have something to bring up here. So we're moving on from Geekinson, okay? What is your problem with The Last Jedi, all right? What is your problem with it? It is a fantastic film.
You know what, man? I hated it.
I can almost hear the backtracking now.
Yeah. It's not, I didn't hate it. I just was very disappointed. I just felt, and I've waxed lyrical about this numerous occasions, but I didn't like the way they portrayed Luke. I didn't like the addition. I didn't like the overuse of humor within it. I don't mind. In Star Wars, the humor was there, but it wasn't very sort of overt. It was like they had a line now and again. You know, Han was the comic guy. This one was like, it was just a bit too comical and took the edge off it slightly. Fucking Leia. Fucking Mary Poppins Leia. What the hell was that? What is that?
You know what? I just don't understand.
Yeah, my take from The Last Jedi is that what was good about The Last Jedi was great. They really nailed some parts of it. Other parts, I felt they just completely, it was, what was bad was terrible. It was, it's very much your Marmite film.
The whole thing with Finn and yep. Rose, yeah, Cantobite. What, they could cut that entire thing out and it would have made no difference to the entire film.
If you're going to go that argument, though, I suppose you could say that they could cut out the entirety of, Jabba's palace at the start of Return of the Jedi.
No, because that's got a linchpin with the getting Han Solo back. You need him because Han Solo's coming back.
You don't have to.
You do because Han Solo's a big part in that film.
Yeah, after the fact.
Yeah, I know, but they need, so you can't cut out Jabba's palace because you need him.
Could.
He's in Carbonite at Jabba's palace.
You could cut it out.
What did that thing with in that bloody casino world, Canto Bight? What did that have to do with the film? In any way, shape, or form, it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't follow the story of the film.
It didn't add anything to the film.
I would disagree.
Right. So how does it progress the narrative of that film?
So I think a lot of people get too stuck on the fact that it progresses Finn's and Rose's story. I'm not a fan of Finn and Rose. I don't think that story was needed. However, what it does is it gives that little bit of humanity to the film. You know, you almost take out, you have the idea of, you know, the rebellion or the whatever they call themselves these days, the resistance, the resistance against the First Order. You know, the majority of that is something that we cannot, you know, the majority of us aren't in the army. You know, the majority of us aren't in space. We can't, you know, we can't really relate to that.
Speak for yourself.
Whereas,
you're in space.
Well, yeah, exactly. Whereas, something like, you know, the story between Finn and Rose, the story of them seeing the world, Rose understanding what's happening with the world, adds a little bit of humanity to the story. And it also means that, you know, you don't have action, 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 action the entire time. You look at Empire Strikes Back,
yep.
One of the greatest films ever made.
Yep.
Would it have been one of the greatest films ever made if it didn't have the scenes in Dagobah? They're very important for the story, for Luke's development, but they also take away from the action. Look at the asteroid scene. You go from the asteroid scene and then you go back into the story of Luke and Yoda, And then as soon as you go back into more action, that action is then more intense.
I know.
But that was necessary for the plot of the Empire. Because if he cut out Dagobah, you would not have seen how Luke had learned how to use the Force more. You'd be like, well, how's he got all the skills suddenly?
Yeah, it was like, exactly, this is what annoys me about Rey slightly. She suddenly, you know, she hasn't had much training, and then suddenly she's fucking, you know, super talented, you know, heavy-hitting Jedi.
She's not talented at all. You watch when she fights the guards from Snoke, you know, she's not talented at all. You see that
whole... That's a good scene, though.
It is a great scene, and I think it sums up the moment where Rey kind of flourishes the saber, screams... And then that is not a Jedi.
No, absolutely.
That is not a Jedi. That is someone who is untrained.
Yes.
So she's
not
trained.
Could be a grey
Jedi. Exactly, grey Jedi. And here's my biggest... A lot of people... Okay, and this is probably my biggest pet peeve. A lot of people say, but who was Snoke? The original trilogy, at the end of Return of the Jedi, okay? Tell me, who was Palpatine? Without any other knowledge. You've just watched the original trilogy. Yeah, who was Palpatine?
Yeah, true. Very good point, yeah.
You know, you know he's a bad guy, but you don't know how he formed anything.
Equally, though, you don't know what his role is. I mean, is the grand something or other.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't. It's like with the Emperor, we knew who he was and what he represented.
Well, we did the same with Snoke. You look at Snoke is the leader of the First Order.
Yeah.
Palpatine was the leader of the Empire.
Yeah.
Snoke dying, and spoilers, you know, if you haven't watched it, then. Tough.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it, what are you doing?
Yeah. Snoke dying, I didn't mind that. That whole scene I thought was epic. I really loved it.
And then the scene following on.
I will say this, like, for all of Snoke's bluster and proclamations of how he's incredible Force user, I did find that why can't you tell that your lightsaber's rattling right next to you?
Because he's so focused on Kylo.
Fair point, yeah.
You know, he's so focused. And not only that, I think it's a big downfall with a lot of Sith is it's that...
pride.
Yeah, pride. Yeah. You know, the very prideful nature of it. They're very sure of themselves. He was so sure that Kylo wouldn't do that. And look what happened.
Yeah. No, I thought that was epic. That wasn't the issue. Like I said, my main issue was just the feeling of it. It wasn't, like I said, I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it. It's definitely not the worst Star Wars film there is. I'm not going to say The Phantom Menace because I don't think it is. In a way, it sort of has its own.
It cannot be because Phantom Menace gave us one of the best lightsaber duels
all
time.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Phantom Menace wasn't perfect. Jar Jar Binks is a bit of an epic feel. But, one, you got to think about Ewoks compared, you know, there, Jar Jar Binks and the Gungans are basically that generation's Ewoks. And like you said, that lightsaber battle is one of the greatest lightsaber battles there is. And Darth Maul is fucking amazing. Have you seen Solo?
No.
Oh, I'm not tired of him.
Yeah, but one thing, the reason why I like the Phantom Menace is because they brought in a trained martial artist.
Yes,
and that shows.
Have you seen the video that's doing the rounds?
No.
He's at a Comic Con, at a convention, and there's a fan in the like that. He's walking through the hall, and there's a fan that's talking to him, and he hands him this one of the Force FX double bladed lightsabers, and Ray Parks just starts spinning that shit. He hasn't lost
he
a step.
Is a trained martial artist, and he maintains that level of ability.
He was Toad as well, wasn't he? In X-Men.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he was Toad, and like everybody kind of picks up that bar that had been propping up in the lift doors when Storm flew, and she picks it up and starts twirling it around, which is a lovely little nod to his role as Darth Maul.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Solo, so we can't talk about that. It's very good.
Though. I have heard a lot of people that have said it is brilliant.
Yeah, do you know, I don't understand the butthurt about it, to be honest. You know, I'm a man, and I picked apart Last Jedi, but I watched it, and I think it gives a good depth to Han Solo and Chewie. Yeah. And I think the guy...
Their story's worth telling.
Yeah, and I think these anthology films, in a way, are very good, because they don't have overhype about them. You're not expecting as much from them. And you're going to have... I think this Han Solo one's going to tie into the Obi-Wan one, and there's a Boba Fett one coming out as well.
Have you seen Deadpool 2?
Oh, man. Hilarious.
What an incredible film.
I lolled so
much.
What
an incredible
film. To the point where my missus was like,
are you okay?
Shut up.
And I was my fiance isn't much into superhero films.
Right, no, mine either.
But we always enjoyed Deadpool. when Deadpool first came out, we'd seen a band in Birmingham. Afterwards, we were like, oh, we should just go and we'll go to cinema, watch it. She loved it. We've been waiting for this one for ages, and it did not disappoint at all.
I better than the first one?
Different,
yeah. Do you know what made it for me? I think, and my girlfriend didn't get this because she hasn't seen the first one, so she was a bit when there's so many like references to the other film and references to like, you know, the whole MCU in general. Yeah, she didn't get any of it. But for me, it was just amazing when, like, you know, there's all these jokes that were set up in the first one, and then they come along like the X-Men where he's in the X-Mansion,
and they're all behind
him. Yeah. He's going like, you know, you'd think we could afford some, you know, good X-Men. And it pans around. Yeah, and yeah. I literally air pumped. I was like, yes! And my missus is like, what? And I was like, I think it's a joke.
The one thing that, the one that really got me was the jab at Rob Liefeld. When he said, I can't remember what the line was, but he mentioned not being able to draw feet.
Oh.
And I also, the highlight was X-Force.
Yeah.
Just how much it went to shit and how quickly. I was not expecting.
Peter.
Yeah, just go. Peter, just go home. I was not expecting that. Brad Pitt's cameo.
Oh, mate, yeah.
But
yeah.
I just, that whole scene, I was just sat there. I couldn't even laugh. I was just like, this is amazing.
Wait a minute, you said you hadn't seen it. Oh, we're just spoiling this for you.
Yeah,
sorry,
I was going to say, we're ruining everything.
Never mind.
Yeah, right, yeah. There's a lot of things in there, man. Just, if you've seen the first one, there's so many references.
Infinity War.
Not seen that one yet either.
Ah, mate, what's going on? What do you do with your life?
Yeah.
I have three kids.
Yeah, okay. They can watch it too, it's fine. Infinity War.
Yeah, I loved it. Really did. The ending, I can't talk, obviously, because Pete's here, but...
I think what I will say is, do not treat Infinity War as a single film.
Well, that's what the...
It's part one.
Yeah, well, that's
It's not officially part one, but it is.
They explain... Right, when we did a podcast about it, and that was a general sort of consensus. It's like, technically, it's just halfway through a very long film. My issue is... There's two issues. My two issues is, I think, because we know that certain people have films coming up, that takes the edge off any
certain
deaths.
Actions.
Yeah, so that takes the edge off it slightly. And secondary, because that film was so gritty and so like, oh my God, shit's happening, you actually felt like people were going to die and be perma-dead, that the next film's going to be
hard. We don't know who will be.
Yeah, but we don't. The thing is, the next film, it's going to be hard because they've got basically... He's done everything he wanted to do. So they've got nothing to lose in this next film, basically, really. Or, and that's it.
But we don't know, though.
But the thing is, the worst thing that can happen is maybe Captain America will die, or Iron Man will die, or something like that.
No,
yeah, something, one of the, you know, but you were expecting that in this one. You're not going to get it. And if it happens, you're like, all right, kind of expected that now. And you're not going to get, because it was such an ultimate bad guy. He was literally
Josh Brolin
was
incredible.
Amazing.
I will say one thing again, no spoilers, the first 15 minutes of that film, do not mess around.
No,
good God,
mate, it's like
good God,
it's like Transformers in the animated series.
Yeah, it really is. Like most of the Marvel films, you've obviously got the fanfare, and then you've got normally quite a light-hearted scene leading into it. This one, I think the only film I can think of, or Marvel film that hasn't done that, was Civil War, because it opened with Bucky killing Tony Stark's parents.
Right. Yeah.
That is. Pales in comparison to what Infinity War does. The first 15 minutes, you're there going, oh, okay. Oh, you know, I was, it's weird. I was ready for this, but I am not ready for this. No, you knew it was going to be brutal, but nowhere near the level of brutality you got.
Given the number of casts in Infinity War, like, how does it handle all the different characters?
They do it quite
very well.
They do it where it doesn't feel rushed.
No, it doesn't feel rushed. Everyone has their moment, but it feels natural. You know, I think the whole the way that they integrated all the teams together works perfectly.
It was basically segmented, so you had a group and a group.
Yeah,
the way they did it, so it sort of tied it in quite well.
Yeah, I think the scenes that they had with Thor and the Guardians. Perfect. You know, and also I love the fact that they were able to bring everybody's characters and style of comedy together. You know, the Guardians of the Galaxy are very silly comedy, almost, whereas people like Tony Stark, Doctor Strange, it's a very sarcastic, dry style of comedy. And there weren't any massive clashes. One thing I did really appreciate was the way that Thor was built up. And, you know, you could... There was that scene with him and Rocket where he's explaining what's going on.
Rabbit.
Yeah. You know, and it was very, very nice to see that level of... oh, there you go. Johnny's just packing some fudge. You doing well, Johnny? Pleasure. Keep it up, mate. Oh, nearly overpacking there. Come on. He's nearly there.
It's like fudge Jenga.
Hey! but yeah, you know, he did very, very well in, you know, kind of making it so that Thor felt like someone who had just come off a hell of a week. You know, and it was nice to see that. And it was also nice to see a properly powered up Thor.
Should have gone for the head.
No, the one before where he enters the battlefield.
Yes, yes.
The only time I've ever come close to coming out of my seat like that, first Avengers, I'm always angry. Yeah. That was the only, you know, to me it was at that level, if not higher, yeah. Personally.
I agree. The only sort of like I said, up to the very end, and I was slightly, like I said, epic film, slightly disappointed at the end, but Vision, I didn't overly like the fact that Vision was literally getting his ass handed to him on a regular basis.
I like that because it, you know, that was everyone going in was going, well, Vision can stomp everyone. But what was nice was there was a reason for it. It wasn't, he never had there was never a head-on-head single combat. It was like, for example, the first time you see him and the first time he gets attacked, that comes out of nowhere. You're not expecting it, and I think that's the reason why, is because you're not expecting it, you know, and then you there's immediately that handicap there that for him not to be as powerful. And it shows as well that this is not something to be trifled with. I mean, that was one of the big complaints about Civil War, was why wasn't Vision just kicking ass left, right and centre?
Yeah.
Because he's too overpowered. Best way to do it? Cut him down to size.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Captain Marvel, because she's meant to be like one of the most powerful characters
yeah,
in
Captain
MCU.
Captain Marvel is ridiculously powerful.
And this is the problem they may have in this next film, because she is so overpowered that Thanos may not be as big a threat, and therefore it might not have the same edge as the last one.
But the question, do we know Thanos is going to be the threat? We know he's going to return, but do we know he's going to be the threat?
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
There's a lot of different ways they can go through with it. If they decide to go down like a time style route, so
well,
it's
apparently
a case,
you know, there was like they've all got these like in Deadpool there they have that they has that wrist
yes.
thing. Now there is a bit of a they have there's
yeah.
pictures of them with those wrist things.
I think it's entirely possible that we could almost see, you know, a time story that involves someone completely different from Thanos. All it says is Thanos will return. It doesn't say in what capacity.
That bit at the end where he's just sitting there looking over, that was just like,
and
wow.
As well, no music in the end credits for the first like 30 seconds, so you can sit there and take in everything. And you do take in everything.
Yeah, it's like, well, what did I just watch, man?
Ugh.
Okay, right, so we're at UK Games Expo. Have you had a walk around yet?
I've had a brief walk around.
You've been very busy.
A brief, oh yes, very busy. yeah, I had a brief walk around. To be honest, there's not that many new releases here. Nothing that's really grabbing my attention. The only thing I am looking for is a copy of Doom, the board game.
Oh, okay.
Because it is amazing.
Not played it.
Oh, you need to get it.
Okay.
It would be perfect for you to do a series on.
All right.
Because there's different missions. If you've got, you can have, I think I played it where one of us was essentially the DM for the demons and the other one was the DM for the marines. But you can play five player, one person controlling demons, each player controlling a marine.
Oh, nice.
And it is, the miniatures are fantastic. It feels good. It's quite quick.
It's been out for a while, that one, hasn't it?
It has been out for a long time, and I think it's a bit of a, kind of a lot of people ignore it. Oh, it's a video game thing there. But it's a lot of fun.
There's the Fallout game that's just out. We actually saw it. There's two.
There's the Fallout board game, and then just over from us, actually, is the Modiphius booth, where they do have the Fallout miniatures game.
Yes.
I played one of the first iterations of that when I visited their offices late last year. Modiphius, yeah. Just over, you can see the Fallout Modern Warfare. There's one of their female members of staff dressed up in a Vault jumpsuit. But I believe they're doing a demo just over there. And it is a fantastic miniatures game. Really, really good fun. It feels like Fallout, but it's not too deep that you're kind of swamped by it. So if you're a newcomer to a miniatures-style game, but you enjoy the Fallout IP, it's a good place to start.
All right, okay. I've got way, way, way too many Kickstarters coming in at the minute. So,
what's the latest Kickstarter you've?
I've got Ice and Fire, the Curl Game of Thrones, that's coming through with everything. I went balls deep on that shit. Then, of course, I did. I've got U-Boat or U-Boot.
Yes, U-Boat.
Yeah, I've got that coming through. I've got the second wave of. Something of Hellas, what's it called?
Lords of Hellas,
yes. Yeah, I've got that second wave coming on. I've got their other game that's coming out. It's basically a space horror...
Nemesis,
that's it.
I have... friends of mine have played that, and they play it quite regularly. They say it's incredible.
Yep, so I've got that going to be coming through. I've got a game which is basically... I'll not even tell you how much money I spent on it, but literally, it's basically like Total War, but it's a board game. It's called Medieval Universal. It's an Italian-based company.
I think I've seen that, and if you paid that much?
Yeah, I paid a lot of money, man. And it's like, it's huge.
And we gave you one of our tables.
I feel really bad. I did. In my defense, I did offer the pay.
To be fair.
I've got that. What else have I got coming through? HeroQuest 25th anniversary.
Wait, yep. Officers on deck.
Yep. Oh, shit, I'm in a red shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're next.
Oh, no. Little Ensign Ricky. Ah, crap.
I will say, if you do want to take a look at a good game, I don't know if you've been over that way, to City of Kings.
Nope.
City of Kings, very, very good game. It's a story-based game. You can level up characters and stuff like that. Very, very interesting concept. Recommend giving it a look.
Ooh. Mate, I just, like, I have a bit of a... See, I don't smoke very often. I don't drink for an Irishman. I don't drink very much either.
So, when you say not for an Irishman, you mean for everyone else?
The thing is, right, when I drink, I drink a lot. I just don't do it very often.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the exact same as me. Yeah, yeah. Don't drink often, but when I do...
You go for it. Oh. Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't socially drink. Drinking is to get fucking pissed.
Yeah, well, addictive personality.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Like, I don't drink to be like, oh, I'll just have a light beverage. No, it's a case of, fuck it.
So I'll get drunk. So I don't spend a lot of money on alcohol. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. My massive thing, all my money goes on collectibles and board games. So, like on birthdays and Christmases, people don't buy me useful things. I get hot toys or I get board games, and that's what I get. So that's why my thing, you know. So all my money that I get from my wages, what's left over, it's board games.
Board games.
And I've got so many. And then obviously there was that Airflix thing that we played.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, such a good game.
Not only that, you've got the new X-Wing coming out as well.
You know what? Talking about that, that slightly annoyed me. Yeah. If I'm to be honest, because I have a lot of X-Wing stuff that I've collected over the years, and I have to basically buy booster packs to sort of make it work. Now, granted, they're saying it's like 50, 60 quid, and you get a fair bit in the box, but I've got a lot of multiple units and stuff. That means I have to buy multiple boxes. I was actually trying to figure out if it was cheaper than 40K or not, because of all the upgrades.
Giant penguin.
What?
Giant penguin.
Giant penguin?
Giant penguin.
Oh, yes, there is.
I'm not going crazy. There is a giant penguin.
There is a giant penguin. All right. But yeah, so You know, but then I was thinking about it. I was just like, right, 40K. I've done, we're on 8th edition now.
The 8th edition.
And I have, and they have one a new edition every couple of years, every 2 years. And then I was figuring it out. So that's like 65 quid. And the new rule book is like, that's another 25. And then blah, blah, blah. And I figured it out. Probably is cheaper in a long term. It's if it was a one-off, X-Wing's more expensive. If
yeah.
Just but over a period of years, considering X-Wing's been out... came out in 2011-ish. 11, yeah. So it's been out for another, like, 7 years. It's only on a second edition.
Yeah.
So, yes, in the long run, it is actually cheaper because they're not bringing out loads of different editions and stuff. So, yeah, all right. I'm okay with that now.
But are you going to upgrade to second edition? I'm not. I'm going to find a new game. I mean, I'd like Gaslands.
So what? Are you going to sell your X-Wing stuff?
Well, no, because my kids are getting into it. We do a simplified version of X-Wing, like no pilot cards, no kind of boosters, just the plain ships, and it's just a very simple, easy way to introduce them to gamers.
I just like them as models and stuff. Yeah. Even
they are very nice models.
Even if I couldn't have them to play with and stuff, I just...
My kids have nabbed my models and put them in their bedrooms.
I'm just waiting for them because they brought out the Fantasy Flight Games, which is the bane of my wallet. Like, literally. It's just like, hey,
everyone.
Flight, it's just like, oh, wait, we brought out a new awesome game with Star Wars. I was like, ah, oh, damn it, Fantasy Flight.
For me,
Flight.
It's Steam.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Steam is. My wallet hates me.
Yeah, and I was like, they brought out, obviously, Star Wars Legion. Now, Star Wars Legion is annoying because it's slightly bigger than Imperial Assault, so all the stuff I have for Imperial Assault I can't use in it, unless I want to go everything slightly smaller. But if they did an armada with that and brought out an epic version with loads of guys, I'd just throw money at it left, right, and center. I'd just go take all of my money. I'd be like, Louise, you know that new house we're going to move into? We're not moving in because I'm spending all my money on this.
Woo.
But our old house will look amazing. The way to do it.
I'm going to miss my man cave, I have to say, but hopefully in this new place I should have an extended and larger man cave.
Yes.
Size matters.
Size does matter in man
definitely.
Cave.
Definitely.
Man cave does. Have you got a man cave, Kieran?
I think it's basically my whole house. My whole flat is a man cave.
Well, that's it. Do you live on your own?
I've got a flatmate. She works as a prison officer.
Right.
So quite often she's doing shift patterns crazily. She's on nights this week. But the front room is effectively my own man cave. It's got everything in there. It's got all my Transformers. It's got a lot of my Halo figurines. It's got a lot of all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it pretty much is my own man cave. My PC's in there, so that's where I do all my gaming.
When me and my ex broke up, I was literally restricted to one small room upstairs in the house. So when we broke up, I literally just went, this house is now my man cave.
It is mine!
And I disseminated, everything just went in, so it's everywhere. And the guys who are buying my house, hopefully touch wood and it doesn't fall through, but touch wood.
There's a lot of wood around
here
as well.
There's a lot of wood.
Oh.
So they came in and the guys, they sell pop figures as a job.
Oh, wow.
See, I think she's Chinese and he... obviously he's an English fella, but they sell pop figures, I think, is one of a part of their job. And they were walking around, and he came afterwards, and they looked pretty impressed. And he's like, you should charge entry for your house. And I was just like...
Speaking of pop figures, I'm a huge Halo fan. You know, like, to a probably an unhealthy degree. I have...
Master Chief is love.
Oh, he is. I've got, you know... collectors and limited editions of every single game except for Halo Reach.
You don't have the Halo Reach one?
No, I don't have the Halo Reach one.
So you don't have the big Noble Six statue?
No, I don't have the Noble Team.
Yeah,
the Noble Team statue. I don't. I've got every. When I was working at CEX, there was a guy who came in, had a sealed collector's edition of Halo 5 with a lock and Chief statues in. And he was just like, I'm looking to sell it. And I was like, well, we'd probably only give about 40 quid for it, but I'll give you 50 cash now and take it off your hands. And he went for it. But trying to find a Master Chief pop figure is hellish. You can occasionally find them on eBay for about 400 quid. I don't know why they're so expensive or rare, but it is almost impossible to find.
What did you think of the last Halo film? Oh, not Halo film, Halo game.
Which one are we on to now?
Halo 5, Guardians. So, as a game, loved it. Cinematics were fantastic. It felt good. Sounded good. The music is incredible. Story-wise, is absolute dog shit.
Yes, okay, yeah, I'll agree with you. It was...
There were some good points. Yeah. There were some good points. But the characterizations are all over the place. Chief is a whiny bitch when he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, Blue Team is completely pointless. Blue Team might as well not even be in the game. And I got really excited because Blue Team in the novels, they're badass. They, you know, some of the feats that they do are incredible. In the game, they do nothing. They serve absolutely no purpose. It's the worst kind of fan service. And then, you know, the whole story about, oh, it's Master Chief's story and everything. No, it isn't. He's in three missions.
What sort of annoyed me about it is that you had such a poignant and beautiful moment at the end of Halo 4 between Master Chief and
Mantis.
Cortana.
Yeah,
you
Mantis.
Like, literally, I was just like, that was beautiful, man. I was like, you get me, bro? I love it. But it's like they sort of just took away from it because they split the whole game between him and Spartan Locke.
Yeah.
And it was just like you didn't get a good grip of either character.
Well, not only that, because the response that Chief had was completely out of character. You know, Chief has always been from when he was, you know, kidnapped at 6 years old. He's always been a leader. And he was, you know, when it came to Blue Team, he didn't lead them at all. You know, they followed him, but he wasn't leading them properly. You know, and also the whole thing with Spartan Locke and everything like that. You know, why would Spartan Locke turn around against Master Chief without even starting to question him? Why would Chief then turn around and not even talk to Spartan Locke about the situation? It makes absolutely no sense.
I agree.
But the thing with, as I recall from Halo 2 or possibly 3, the thing with that Master Chief is, he's lucky. I think Cortana saved him.
Yeah.
It's not his leadership then. It's just, he's lucky.
I think that was a very interesting thing. I don't think it was meant, a lot of people took it literally. She was like, oh, you must, you know, it's your power, you're lucky. I think it was just more, you know, it's looked at a little bit more in the novels, and when Cortana chooses Master Chief, you know, she does a proper look at him, what his stats are, you know, looks at the probability of their bonding working with the suit and everything like that. You know, so you can understand why Chief is upset that he's lost her, but his reaction afterwards is so out of character, and it doesn't make sense in the story. Cortana doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Cortana makes absolutely no sense. At the end of 4, going, you know, yes, she was rampant, but she didn't want to take over the universe.
So her turning the way she did just took, it did, it made no sense. I mean, it took away from his, how he was feeling about her, and I was very disappointed in that.
They've really dug themselves into a hole for 6.
And not having a split screen in multiplayer, what's that all
about? Oh, God.
Oh, man, I was just like, why?
Don't even get me started on that.
Every game ever has had a split screen, and you can't.
However,
I remember playing Halo back in the 90s when it first came out, and me and like 15 mates would, you know, go out to someone's place, 4 monitors, 4 Xboxes.
Yeah.
That's what all about.
LAN it up.
That's what it's all about, mate. You know,
however,
it's brilliant.
E3 is next weekend.
Oh.
E3 is next weekend, which is always a treat.
Yes.
Always a treat. Rumours of a Resident Evil 2 remake.
Yeah.
Rumours that we're actually going to find out a little bit about Death Stranding.
Okay.
Halo 6, obviously heavily rumoured. The one thing I'm really looking forward to is Fallout 76. Now, they've said apparently it's an online game.
Yeah.
And it's an online sort of like kind of survival RPG style thing. That's been done to death. However, I think given the Fallout IP and given the time frame that they are placing this game in, it could be a lot more interesting than people are giving it credit for.
One game I'm really looking forward to, and that's Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes!
First announced 2013?
Yes, 2014. I think it was 2014.
2014. Not seen anything since then. And they've, you know, CD Projekt Red have been completely tight-lipped, not seeing anything. And barring a 6-page feature,
it was concept art, wasn't it?
No, it was a statement of intent and advertising for new stuff. Now, Mike Pondsmith has gone on record saying he's involved. This is the guy that created Cyberpunk 2013, 2020, and so on. And the fact that this guy is involved from the word go speaks a lot to me. Like, just like, my money, here's my money, take it, I want this game.
I'm looking forward to... I'm actually looking forward to Battlefield 5 because they've gone back to sort of...
Do you know what, right? First-person shooters, I'm a bit sort of eh about because just doesn't... What's going on?
They got beer.
Oh. All right.
Should we see if we can get beers?
I'm driving. I'm driving. You can have a beer.
I can't have a beer. I'm working.
I'm very good.
So we can't have beers.
Can't have beers. Not yet.
Don't drink and drive, kids. Drink and drive.
Do what Matt does and be sensible.
Yeah. Sensible Irishman.
Don't drink and buy loads of board games and miniatures.
See, that's it. Yeah, that's
and
it.
Everything will be
if
fine.
If I was drunk and I had money, and you don't know what would happen, man. I'd be like injecting it into my veins and shit. Just put it into my blood.
Give me everything.
Seriously, man. Tomorrow, I'm coming. My mate Russell's coming with me tomorrow. Might take some photographs and things like that. But we're both going to have to hold each other back and stuff and not buy anything.
I recommend tomorrow, if visit City of Kings, take a look, and go and take a look at the Fallout miniatures game over at Modiphius, just over the road there.
Yeah. All right, might give that a whirl. See what happens. Yeah. I'm kind of glad. There is a lot of good games around, so I'm just kind of glad there's nothing like...
Standing out.
Nothing new, like superly new, that makes me kind of go, oh my god.
That's Essen, if you want new games.
I don't know. I think like Airflix.
That
does stand out for me.
Yeah, that was really good. It's very simple, very sort of easy game to get into. Yeah. Seems like it actually needs skill to play.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's easy to learn but hard to master, and you know, very easy to pick up. And those games are the ones that you keep.
I like the concept that you actually flick the unit, so it doesn't matter. There's no movement limit. It's literally as far as you can flick it. Just don't flick it off the end of the board.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're always thinking up crazy ideas.
They are always thinking up crazy ideas. All right, somebody's going to have to do a check on that monitor there to tell me what time it's at. What time is it telling me? How long is it being running
for? There we go. 51 minutes.
How long?
51.
51 minutes.
Yeah. 51 minutes.
Wow, time flies when you're having fun.
It really does.
Yeah. Okay, so before we go then, so what we'll do, is there anything else that you feel that you need to talk about right now?
I like what that Airflix, that's really good. I know I've mentioned it a few times, but yeah, that's what I've got my eyes on.
Yeah, you reckon you're going to back it on the Kickstarter then?
I could very well.
You know what I'm loving, man? Andy Haig, on Geek Pride. The resident Eeyore, Geek Pride's resident Eeyore, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy, but he's a bit morose sometimes, yeah. He suddenly got into board games now, like out of nowhere. But it's just like all he's talking about. He used to be just the comic book guy. That was it.
That was his thing.
It was comic books, and then suddenly he bought himself some secondhand board games. And now it's just like board games.
But that's how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out of the blue, you'll be like, oh, I just get this, and then you go, this is really good. I'm going to need everything.
Yeah. Are you the sort of guy, if you buy a game, you can't buy it, you have to buy all the expansions and stuff?
I mean, a lot of my stuff I get through Steam, so I generally get it at a cut rate price for everything anyway. Like, I think I paid £3 for the entire Serious Sam series.
That's the problem with Steam. It's like, buy all these games for tuppence.
Yeah, Humble Bundle, though, that is where
Humble Bundle, exactly.
It offers some great deals. And yeah, I mean, I've got something like 150 games just from Humble Bundle.
When I went back, I've been playing with my brother. We've been playing like Age of Empires a lot recently.
Yeah. You know? Oh, what, the HD remakes?
Really good. Really enjoying that. Yeah.
I've been playing BattleTech a lot. That's a great game. Kind of puts all the number crunching and spreadsheets under the hood and lets you concentrate on basically battle mechs blasting the shit out of each other.
Yeah, exactly. I think at the moment, probably the game that I've been playing the most recently, at least over the last couple of months, has got to be Heroes of the Storm.
Blizzard. I've heard that, but what's Heroes of the Storm again?
Heroes of the Storm is from Blizzard. So World of Warcraft, StarCraft, Diablo, kind of all those characters in a MOBA-style game.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good fun. Playing a lot of D&D. A friend of mine's DMing for the first time.
Oh, okay, how's that going? What's your character? What's your character?
So, my character. I'm assuming you've seen Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
You know Korg?
You basically Korg.
Yeah. But the best part was, all of my all of the people that were playing it hadn't seen Thor. And then they watched Thor Ragnarok and they went, oh my God, I can see, it's your character. And to give you an example, our party was down in some dungeons. Me and a friend of mine who's playing an undead bard, walking down a corridor, came into a big room, ankle height water, big circle in the middle, just full of water. And my friend, my undead bard, says, do you think that's a wishing well? To which my character nods. So he goes, oh, I'll make a wish. Flicked a coin in. Coin landed. About 20 seconds later, this giant fish man came out of the lake, like forearms, like looking angry, with the coin resting on top of his head. And my character just goes, oh, hey, man, look, you got some change. Like, he's got the voice of Korg and everything. You know, and it's been a lot of fun to play. Specifically because the party is made up of there's a drunken monk, an undead bard. There was an addicted paladin in the party, and then you've got my character who is the purest Cinnabon that needs to be protected in every way imaginable. And it's just been so much fun to play, because normally a lot of the characters I've played have always been quite harsh characters. They've always been, you know, very very stoic, that sort of stuff. This character, who just kind of like sees the good in everything, has like, you know, this, it's a really quite high pitched voice. It's really quite nice. And just kind of playing that and having something slightly different has been so much fun.
What's your guy called?
He's called Kung.
Kung.
Kung. He is a Goliath barbarian. He is huge, but still has the same voice. So he is essentially Korg. And it has been the most fun that I've had.
You say you were playing, you've got like a Star Wars one, yeah. You do. What's your character?
I'm playing a Jedi pilot, who's basically the do-gooder of the group. So everyone's like, it's like these gunslinging bounty hunters. And I'm the Jedi, well, rather the wannabe Jedi, because I'm playing like, doing like just pre- yeah. A New Hope. And I'm going, no, don't kill them. No, really?
Stop it.
Don't kill them.
Don't do it!
It's a lot of fun because, like...
What's he called?
Jack Random.
Jack Random?
It's a reference to some classic, like, space opera novels.
Jack Random.
Jack Random. I have a running thing in all the RPGs I play. My character has to be named after me, but in a really obvious sort of way. So it's like, there's no sort of thoughts gone into my names whatsoever. It's like, my last character in Rogue Trader was Matt T. Gurk instead of Kirk. So it's like my initials effectively, and then instead of Kirk I put Gurk, and then it's just like,
oh my
and it's
God.
Just like no thought went into his name whatsoever. So yeah. I did Warhammer Fantasy one. My guy was called Matt von Gerenstein.
Oh my God.
It's just like, dude, can you not think of some better names? It's like, no.
These are amazing names. What are you on about?
They're my name.
Also, tying back to last, so if you remember last year when we did the UK Games Expo Geek Pridecast, we spoke about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I obviously brought up the rather contentious issue of what is the correct canon for Game of Thrones. Is it the TV series or the books? It's safe to say now it's the TV series.
Oh yeah, it's surpassing now, hasn't
it's
it?
Surpassing.
A fucking George R. R. Martin needs to get his finger out of his beardy ass and get that fucking Winds of Winter sorted, because it's annoying me that he
hasn't
got it.
I don't think he will, because I think honestly, if he did that, it would fail.
Well, no, I think what he'll do is he's making pure till at this minute in time from the series, and he'll just wait for it to be over, then he'll release it a couple of years later when it's died down a bit.
I think, yeah.
A new TV series coming out as well.
Yes.
And I think that's...
What?
Yeah.
A new TV series.
On what?
It's the pre-game, so it's... if I remember right, it's a prequel that features... like, if I remember rightly, I think it's actually like a couple of thousand years beforehand. So it features like the first king of the north and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, right, okay. So Brandon the Builder and stuff.
Yeah.
Looking at like a couple of different ideas, and basically going to be like, you know, last man standing, basically, when it comes to which one they choose to go.
So you'll have the actual the old Targaryens and the dragons and things
and
like that.
And then you've also got the Amazon Lord of the Rings series.
Oh my god, yeah. Do you know what? There's like 1.2 billion or something.
Aragorn's story.
See, I thought they should have done the Silmarillion, some of the Silmarillion stories, because it would have been quite slightly darker, but Aragorn could work, I guess.
Or they could have done a proper version of The Hobbit.
Yeah.
you know, The Hobbit films are good, but my god, did they drag.
You didn't need three films. You could have done it at one and a half max.
Talk about new shows coming up. The Expanse has been renewed.
Yes.
And isn't it Amazon, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Amazon, yes.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
The greatest science
fiction. Thank God we got Brooklyn Nine-Nine back.
Last year we talked about Walking Dead.
Yes.
Did you watch the finale? You know?
I haven't watched the last episode I saw, spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen it. I think the last episode I saw, Carl offed himself.
Yeah. I'm done with it now.
I still love Negan.
Negan's amazing.
I still love Negan.
Negan's amazing. I don't get me wrong.
I haven't seen
it.
Although Andrew Lincoln's supposed to be leaving.
Yeah, he is.
I haven't seen the latest series, so I don't know if that ties into any of that. But I've still been enjoying it.
I
will say Andrew Lincoln leaving is going to leave that show in a very poor state, because
they've offered Ramis.
Yeah, but it
they've offered him loads of Redis. Yeah,
but he's. Andrew Lincoln is such a phenomenal actor. Like, no one does kind of like sorrow like he does.
Mental torture.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No one does it like him. It's almost like that. He's very good at doing shock.
Yeah.
You know, that shaking, the wide-eyed. He's not looking at the person. He's looking through them completely.
I didn't watch it until I let them all record, and then I was painting some models, and I watched through them. There was like some good-ish episodes. Negan, as always, is great.
He's great,
but it's just still very formulaic.
I stopped watching around end of season 3. It's just I just got bored of it. I mean, for a zombie apocalypse TV series, and you're getting bored, there's something fundamentally wrong. The first season was great. 6 episodes, brilliant. But then there was the waiting around the farm. Killed me interest, and third season where he was in the prison, and just I got.
But you have to watch the Negan scene where he's introduced, the Glenn scene because that is
great.
That's one of the best like scenes in TV. Yes,
I read the comics still, and they are still brilliant.
Oh, they're fantastic.
But it's just compare that with the TV series, and it's just killing.
The thing is, they don't, you know, obviously, there's a big difference in the series.
Yeah.
Carl's not dead in the comic books.
Yeah, exactly. Although I was quite happy they did that, because I think Carl had run completely run his...
He was getting annoying.
Yeah.
He was getting really annoying.
And he burned a fair bit as well.
Yes. That's the problem with children.
But the thing is, you've got, like, from the comic books, you've got the...
Whisperer War.
Yeah, yeah.
Whisperer War, you've got Alpha and Beta, you've got, you know... And all it's brilliant.
I'm not sure if they do another series, how they're going to tie it in and stuff. You know,
I don't know.
Because it's meant to be later on, because it skips forward, doesn't it? And Negan's sort of like
in
jail.
Negan's in jail and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
But yeah. Oh, well. I said this last season. I was like, I'm done with it. And I watched a bit of it, but I'm just like, it doesn't.
I do need to catch up on it.
It's not on my radar anymore.
Is anyone watching Into the Badlands?
I haven't been watching that, no.
Post-apocalyptic kung fu drama based on Journey to the West.
All right, okay.
It is phenomenal. And rather than other kung fu shows, Iron Fist.
Nothing wrong with Iron Fist.
Really? Did you like it? Did you like Iron Fist?
Yeah.
No. Iron Fist would work. It has a good story there. Unfortunately, Finn Jones can't carry it because he's not a trained martial artist. He can't pull off the gravity of those.
Finn Jones is a very lovely guy as well.
Yeah, no, he's just the wrong guy. Into the Badlands.
Matt for Iron Fist.
Into the Badlands.
Defender of Kun Lai.
Reach for the sky!
Into the Badlands, though, they have trained martial artists front and center, and it shows. And it's just one of the best TV series around at the moment. generally original.
Is that the one with Nick Frost?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, admittedly, he doesn't do martial arts much.
He doesn't need to. He's Nick Frost.
Yeah. But no, I mean, they've got Daniel Wu, Emily Beecham. Yeah. And yeah, it's just the choreography is amazing, and Daniel Wu is fantastic in the role. And continually evolving it. It's not just the same story each season. It's a new story.
Because they've just finished the third season, filming the third season, haven't they?
Yep. It's currently on episode 5, possibly 6.
Okay.
And I'm saying, so watch it. Check it out.
Okay, we've probably been going on for just over an hour.
Just over an hour, I'd imagine.
So we will leave it there and let Karen get back to work. You know,
do you have to?
we got the sitting over there.
Look
your
at
man
him
over there.
Look at him. Look at him. Ooh, hips out,
Johnny. Ooh. I'm Johnny.
Look at me in my new Nike Air Max.
He's not one of these guys who queues up for
Friday. Thursday, when we were getting ready, he was like, we're driving back to pick up some stuff, and he went, going to have to go for a haircut. And I was like, what for? And he was like, well, if I go for a haircut, I'll feel pretty, and if I feel pretty, everyone else will think I'm pretty. And I was like, what is wrong with you?
Aww.
Bless him.
Bless him indeed. Okay, guys, we will leave it there. Thanks very much, Karen, for
not a problem.
Here.
Always a joy.
Yeah, a pleasure. I've been Matt Geary from Geek Pride. He has been Peter Allison.
How are you doing?
And he has been Karen
from Geek and Son here at UK Games Expo.
All right, cheers, guys. See you later. Bye.
In a bit.